Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 2, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wonderful, wild world of wrestling on Wednesdays. Today's guest is an elder millennial like me, so naturally, we're kindred spirits, bonded by age, taste in eclectic music, experience, and the bizarre world of professional wrestling. She's an international superstar. She's been paying her dues in Australia, Japan, and America since 2007. She is one half of the very first NXT inaugural women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners. NXT superstar, my girl, Dakota Kai.
Just listening to the podcast, not watching the video.
Oh, yeah. I have my dog on my lap, and she's kind of wanting to take the attention away from me. So, and as she does.
And she's probably like 120 pounds. Yeah. And
she thinks she's a lap dog.
Yeah.
Her name's Isis Puppy. Hey, come here.
Gorgeous.
Thing with her is she always makes her way onto like any of these interviews that I do. So, yay, you're debuting on Wild On.
What kind of a dog is she?
She's a pit bull mix.
Oh my God.
If you want to say hello, say a word. Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to let you go now. My headphones are getting tangled.
My son Taylor is usually the one that makes the cameo. I think that's the first cameo we had.
Yes. You hear that? Cool.
Right. Well, tell me about Dakota Kai growing up.
Oh gosh, I had a pretty regular childhood. I was raised Catholic. We were raised very fit. So it's me, my brother and sister, and then my mom and dad.
Okay.
We were raised to do a lot of sports. So I'd be doing netball, which is kind of like, I feel like, do you know what netball is?
I feel like I've seen it. I know it.
Yeah.
Is it like basketball? Kind of like, yeah.
But like generally only women play it, but guys, and we have mixed teams as well. So I played that. I did a lot of track and field. And as high school was ending, I kind of was at this fork in the road. I'm like, well, I'm not going to do anything with my life unless I have a degree in something. So it was either going to go down the path of something to do with sport or down the other path. Like I have a very creative side. So I did a lot of photography, art history, and things like that. Yeah, so I ended up going down that route with graphic design. So I studied that, but I didn't really have a passion in it. It was just something that like I needed a degree to get ahead in life, I guess. Yeah. But because that's
what you do.
Stigma. Yeah, this is what you do. Yeah. So I did that. But at the same time as I was finishing high school, one of my friends who I did athletics with told me that there was a wrestling promotion in Auckland.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. Because I loved watching it. I always watched it with my brother growing up. I loved the sport so much. And so I kind of thought about it because they needed more women within their promotion. So I thought about it and I went along to training, which my parents initially weren't too, they support me now 100%. But at the time they were a little bit like either worried about me that I would get hurt. They weren't sure of what this was, you know, and on that note, we weren't really allowed to watch it growing up just because we were raised. Yeah. So that is an important thing. My brother and I would always like privately, secretly watch it in the spare bedroom. We'd put it on and then turn it off when my dad came into the room. Like, so it wasn't exactly something that was.
You didn't grow up with it.
No, not really. But we would still watch it secretly.
Yeah.
Our fix.
I can't help but think fall in the same path. Like I did the same thing as you. I was like, oh, I have to go to university because that's what you do. And I was a big time athlete, but I also played cello in the orchestra for like 7 years.
Wow.
So we're these weird jock-like artists. You don't always find that in wrestlers. But then you were kind of approached on a whim, like I was, to start wrestling. I thought I was going to be a personal trainer, and I thought I was going to go to do kinesiology in university. So I started doing like a co-op placement at a gym, and the gentleman who fixed the equipment was actually like an indie wrestler. And he said, a school he knew of is always looking for women, and the promotion needs more women. We have so many parallels.
That is so crazy. That's pretty much exactly my story with it. Yeah. And then I went along to training, much to my parents, like, they weren't exactly, but I had my driver's license at this point. So okay. I was 16, ready to just be like, you know what? I gotta do this. I feel like this could be something I'm really passionate about.
Yep.
And here I am in my 14th year.
Well done. So one thing that is different about you, I find, than a lot of women you see in major promotions today is the fact that you have been really working at it since 2007. It's not like you found wrestling and within a few years, you know, all the stars aligned. You've been paying your dues. You went to Japan, you know, you wrestled locally for a long time. And was it when you went to the States that things really started changing for you?
Definitely. So my first international exposure, I guess, was in Australia with Madison Eagles promotion. And I knew that the girls there, because it was her, Nicole Matthews was there, Kelly Skater, and all those Shimmer girls. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I watched the Shimmer DVDs and all that. But I had a match there, and I guess Madison was real impressed. So she put my name forward to Dave. And then that's when I started doing, you know, those promotions. Eventually I started coming over here and working. Then things just started rocking and rolling. Then I had two tours of Japan, 3 months each. And then I just kept doing, you know, New Zealand and Australia shows, and eventually got my tryout in 2014. And I wasn't signed immediately either. I did the tryout and I impressed them, but it was kind of like, we don't have anything for you right now, like, right. But please keep in touch with us because we want you to stay on our radar, basically.
Right.
And so I did that, you know, every 6 months I would kind of be like, hey, hello, don't remember forget me? About me. That annoying, like,
in there, girl.
Yeah, you got to do it, right? And then I would just update them with what I was doing. You know, I've got a tour of Japan coming up. You know, this is what I'm doing right now. And then it was the end of 2016. I was over here for Shimmer, and Mr. Canyon Seaman emailed me and basically asked me what I was doing in America, you know, like what my schedule was. And I told him, and he said, would you be able to come into the PC to train with the class? So it wasn't really it was a tryout, but it was only me. And they kind of asked me to go train with their women's class run by Sarah Amato. So I did that for a day, didn't think anything of it. And then a couple of days later, I got the email, like the email.
The email. For those of you who don't know, when you're being offered the contract, it comes in an anticlimactic email.
I know. And then I read it. I was actually working another promotion when I read the email, and I just fell off my chair and just started crying. Aww. And people were like worried that it was bad news. I guess my crying comes off as like... I'm an ugly crier. So they were worried that it was something bad. I'm like, no, it's good. Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Good for you. And I'm so happy for you. I have to say, you know, I have definitely said it a few times, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You're a big reason and a big part that I have had my love of women's wrestling rejuvenated. Because women's wrestling is in such a high right now. And what you guys are doing at NXT, you're bringing women's wrestling to the next level. And I love it. So thank you for all the hard work you've put in. You're changing the game.
Well, yeah, we've got a good group of women.
Yep.
At NXT right now. Yeah. But you are like one of the people that I watched when I was coming into wrestling.
Really?
Oh, yes. That's it. I don't know. There was that era that you were in was like so cool.
Thank you. We were fortunate to have the opportunities we did at that time. But I will say, just like you, it was the right group of women, the right chemistry, and we were there for it. We were living.
Oh, yeah, you were.
So tell me about your tours in Japan, because I'm always interested. That was something I didn't get to do. And I like watching Stardom as a female wrestler, but also as a fan. I think they've got a really cool thing going on there. Tell me a little bit about Japan.
My first tour, which came in 2014, I didn't go to Stardom. I was actually invited to go to a... So there's like a lot of older sort of women there that sort of ran the promotion.
Okay.
And actually one of the girls there that took me onto her ring was Sari, who just got signed right now. And I haven't seen her in 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She looks the same. She still looks 16 years old to me, but this promotion, I was there for 3 months and it was such a cool experience because I got the real stereotypical Japanese experience that you think of, you know, like in the dojo every day, cleaning, getting beaten up in every match. and it was such a very cool experience.
Yeah.
And then my second tour, which I did 2016, like before I got the email. I went over as freelance. So I worked Stardom as well as Sendai Girls, which is Miko Satomura's promotion. I was there for 3 months and that was a really cool experience too. And like you said, Stardom is just such an amazing promotion to be a part of, you know. Yeah. And at the time, EO was top dog there. So you're learning from these really cool, awesome women. Yeah, and Kaidi as well. Yeah, that was a very cool experience.
I think like if I could do it all over again, I don't regret anything, but I feel like if you're a girl who's brand new and coming up and you've been on your local indies for a year or two, like you need to get up and you need to go to Japan and you need to go to Mexico and you will come back an entirely new
person. 100%. The wrestling is one thing, but like the actual like cultural experience of being in Japan and finding your way around by yourself in a foreign country, it really makes you grow up.
Absolutely.
I feel like you would have been great in Japan.
Yeah.
You would have loved it. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe. Who knows?
You can still go.
I don't know if my body can handle it. Oh, Dakota. So, you know, you've been at it now 14 years. Have you had any serious injuries? Like, I know how it is. Like, you know, broken fingers, toes, bruises. You feel like you've been hit by a truck. You know, normal stuff.
Yeah, all the time.
Have you had any serious injuries along the way?
I did have one. Oh, going off what you just said right now, like after every match, you just feel like you've been hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And for wrestlers, it's like, I saw this meme the other day that was like a doctor asking a person like, On a scale of 0 to 10, give me the amount of pain you're in. And the person says, you know, just the normal amount. And then the doctor says, the normal amount is 0. I'm like, oh.
Really?
Yeah, don't know that life. But I really am rather lucky. My first tour of Japan, I got a dislocated collarbone in training. Over here doing shimmer in a couple of weeks. So it wasn't too crazy. I just had to be off of it for like a week.
Okay.
And then I tore my ACL, which is like the biggest injury.
That's the one you don't want.
Yeah. And that was at the end of 2018, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. On a road loop here with NXT. And that was rough because the recovery is long. The rehab is long, but you can switch your focus from training and put it into rehab. The physical side isn't really a problem. It's really like very much a mental game because you're constantly thinking like, will I be the same when I come back?
Right.
Like, be paranoid that I'm going to tear my other ACL because there is a risk that you might tear the other one because you've rehabbed the other one so strong.
Right.
And then you wonder if you come back, will you still have the same opportunities that you did before?
Right. Which you obviously have become the bionic woman because it doesn't look like you have any fear at all.
Well, you can't. It's weird because you kind of have to be like that. It was difficult coming back because obviously you have those worries and things like that, but you really kind of have to ignore them and force yourself to go as if you never had them before, because if you are going in with fears and worries, then that's when the injuries could happen and you have another person's life in your hands too. Absolutely. So it's like, yeah.
I always like to ask, do you have any indie horror stories when it comes to promoters, working with other people. I've got tons, so don't feel like
you do. Oh my gosh.
Anything that makes you giggle when you think back, like, I can't believe I dealt with that. Just get to the point. I am.
I know. I feel like I was actually hearing a lot of the horror stories that I want to hear what your biggest one is. Hearing what like the other horror stories that the other girls have gone through.
Yeah.
I feel like for the most part, I got out pretty okay. There was one promotion I will not name, but
no
they put us up in a hotel and we'd always be crammed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was just very like, oh, and it wasn't the best hotel, but it was like, we got through that.
I'll tell you one story. Like, this was back in the day where it was almost appropriate to have an Amazon wish list, which still
makes
me a little bit creepy, but okay. We weren't making any money. So
all of the girls had that.
Thank you. So for our listeners that don't know, when we were coming up in the indies, we weren't making much money. We're just trying to survive. So fans wanted to like gift you things. So we all had these Amazon wish lists. So I showed up to this promotion. The promoter had dropped me off at the hotel. And, you know, you give your phone number because it's just common practice, or your email so that they can pick you up, tell you what you need to do, where you need to be. And I get into my hotel room and there is a big bouquet of a dozen roses, a 3-piece Hayes luggage set. I couldn't even tell you the brand, like an expensive watch, not like a Rolex, something like I couldn't afford at that point, like a couple $100s.
And one or two things
also off my wish list. And I just kept thinking, okay, but like, one, who are these from? And two,
and it could be anyone.
How are they in my room? So I emailed the promoter and I was like, you know, no disrespect, but there's like tons of gifts in this room. Like, is this the room for me, or like,
is this the right room?
Yeah. Like, is this your wife's anniversary? Am I in the wrong room? And then I found out he had purchased them all and he had a key to my room, and it was also strange. And
I was I didn't see that coming.
No. And I was like, okay, thank you. I can't accept these gifts. Like, I'm essentially an employee. I don't feel comfortable. And like, can you not have a room key?
That's the big, oh my gosh. That's the biggest thing, right? If
you left
them outside the door, I mean, that's the fact that they were in your room. And
I know. So you know what, in the end, he ended, like, obviously there was like a major stranger danger here. Let's be real. It was way before me too and all that other stuff. And I just wanted to work. I just wanted to get paid. And I wanted to wrestle.
Boundaries.
But in the end, we had a respectful conversation. I kept my shit together. He refused to take those things back and everything was fine. I never worked for that promotion again though.
Yeah, so no.
Like, I just want my flight home.
like, I don't blame you.
But anyways, back to you. Let's talk about all your success, the lack of creepy promoters in your life. tell me about winning the inaugural NXT Women's Tag Tournament.
Oh my gosh. When that was announced, I think everyone was just really, really overwhelmed and sort of, I don't know, this is the first time, right, in history that there was a Women's Dusty Classic. So when that was announced, I think a lot of the girls were just super, super happy to be part of such a big monumental thing. You know, absolutely. This is like another sort of check in the box for the women's evolution movement.
Yes.
And we want to keep this going, you know, like I think these are just so important to us.
Yeah.
When we won it, I wasn't even expecting that. You know, I was just happy to be there. I was just happy to be there.
But
when it happened, it was insane. And so it happened at Vengeance Day and it didn't really sink in. You know, I did a lot of interviews the week after and they were asking me how I felt. And I just was like, I don't think it's really sunk in yet. I feel like I watched the footage back of us standing by the cup and then the 1 million tons of like confetti coming down on us. It just feels surreal. And I'm just so grateful that it happened. And to be paired with someone like Raquel is just so, so fun. You know, we got put together like just over a year ago now, and her growth and even my growth, you know, she's given me confidence. She's like not the same person she was, you know.
Really?
Yeah. You look at her in the ring, she's always been a powerhouse, but her confidence has just skyrocketed. So the fact she has title shot against Io at Stand and Deliver. Like, I am so excited for her. This is like her first, this is going to be her first like takeover.
Wow.
She's worked, yeah, she's done other important NXT shows, but this will be her first takeover.
That's the beautiful thing about tag team wrestling, and I'm so excited to see it happening more and more for women, is it's not only is it personal growth, you're helping each other be better, you're pushing each other more. And so when is the event, what's the name, and when is it coming up again, just in case our listeners miss that?
NXT Stand and Deliver. I think the first night's on the network, the WWE network, and then the second is on Peacock.
Cool.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 7th and 8th of April, but she'll be against Io, and I'm sure it will be an amazing match. I'm so excited for her.
So exciting, and you've got her back. That's it.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in the States now?
Just over 3 years, not including the shimmer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just over 3 years.
And so I know, as just being Canadian and having traveled around the world for wrestling, you speak the same language, but it is a very, very different place.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of culture shock. When I talked to Tony Storm a few weeks ago, I said, you know, like, what have you not gotten used to that's different than home? And she was like, I can't think of anything. And then in the background, I could see that she still had all her international plug point connections.
Oh, yeah, she does. In the locker room the other day, she was straightening her hair and she still had the adapter. I'm like, bro, you've been here like a second. We could like get a straightener that's got like the US connection.
Like, give in. You're yeah, here.
I know, right? Like, just commit.
So funny.
She's the best.
So is there anything in America that you haven't gotten used to yet?
It still blows my mind what you can buy, I guess, in a Walmart.
True.
Yeah, I guess. So when I came here, it's just an immediate culture shock, yeah, right? You're driving on the other side of the road, which that is a story. So myself and Tegan.
Yeah.
Tegan Knox, we landed. We got signed at the same time. We literally landed at the airport at the same time.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was great because I was by myself. I was terrified, you know, new country to live in. And we shared a rental car. It's great. But like, to learn to drive on the other side of the road, like, you're going in a straight line, you think everything's fine,
I know,
until you have to turn. And then you turn into oncoming traffic. Like, that happened to us so many times where we turn the car like left, and then you just see like oncoming traffic, like, oh, we're on the wrong side of the road. Like,
it's crazy, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I lived in England for a little bit, so the other side of the road. And it's not like, you're an intelligent person. You understand that you have to do the opposite, but muscle memory fights you.
Oh yeah, 100%. And like, one of the like most minor things is if you go to use the indicator, you like turn the windscreen wipers on, because those are switched too. So you're just like turning into oncoming traffic, switching on the windscreen wipers, and like, I promise I'm supposed to be here. Like, I promise this isn't a mistake.
The windows are so clean by the car accident.
Sorry, WWE. Sorry. One of the things that really stuck out to me is that when I went to a Target or a Walgreens or wherever, like,
yeah,
and there's one whole aisle dedicated to just cereal. We have like two cereals in New Zealand.
What are the cereals?
Cornflakes and Weet-Bix. And cornflakes is just the unsugared version of Frosted Flakes.
Those are the worst options.
I know. They're just healthy, but you add like sugar and Milo to them and they're okay. And I'm like, Frosted Flakes, the sugar comes already on the on the flake. What is this? And it's like the most basic cereal here, but I had it for like so long because I was like, this is great,
this is delicious.
Yeah, but a whole aisle.
I know it's better now, but I feel like you would have to actively search for the healthy cereal.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a thing, even though I was like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, what's Count Chocula? What's that? Like,
yeah. And let's be real, cereal's the perfect food. I would be okay eating cereal forever.
Oh my gosh, on that note, I got this protein shaker thing that's made for having your cereal on the go.
Oh, cool.
It's like you fill the milk in one.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and then the other one you put your cereal in and you just drink it and munch it. It's great.
This is Dakota Kai becoming an adult.
Yeah.
Traveling cereal.
Yeah, cereal on the go. Who'd have thought?
Well, I feel like there's so much we haven't even talked about yet.
I know.
But I don't want to keep you for ages. So, like, call me. But I like to finish every episode with my 10 tailor-made questions. It's like a speed round kind of thing. Don't feel rushed. Are you ready?
Yes, I think so.
Name one beauty product you cannot live without.
Oh, I'm really big on skincare.
Oh, good.
Yeah, as in makeup or skincare?
Oh, doesn't matter. Anything. You're like true ride or die. You need it.
Face moisturizer by Tatcha.
Good one, Tatcha.
The dewy. Yeah.
Smells so good. You look so fresh.
I know. That's
Tatcha, send us products. Thank you.
Yes, please.
What is your favorite exercise?
Squats.
What is your biggest pet peeve? It can be top three because I feel like wrestlers are rude people. Perfect.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Just be polite. Say please and thank you. Like when I came here for the first time, I was in a store and I was like, thank you. And like, usually the response from them is like, I don't know. Is that a thing? I guess it's supposed to be a thank. You're welcome here.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's hard because Canadians, we say sorry for everything.
I know. And, so polite.
And yeah. We try our best. But you're like, did I hurt your feelings by saying thank you?
Mm-hmm. Always sounds like moody. Like I'm like, yeah. I just made your day worse.
But. Yeah. Or I feel like I have to clap back. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like
oh, yeah. Well, excuse me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Who is your celebrity crush?
Dua Lipa. She's great.
Her voice. I love anything that's acoustic and hearing her raw. Ooh,
she's so cool. And her fashion sense is great. Her makeup's on point. Yeah. Like she's
yeah.
Agreed. She's awesome. Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite band or artist?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I'm looking over at my vinyl collection right now. okay. Well, if we're talking like all time, let me just throw some out there.
But okay.
I'll probably watch this back and be like, you didn't say this.
I always Jimmy do that.
Jimi Hendrix.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to look at my list.
You know what? I feel like you're like me. This is such a loaded question because
it really is.
You love music. So every day you love something more
something
and more.
New. Yes. Or like you're going through phases. I'm just going to say Jimmy right now because at the moment nothing's coming, but I'm super eclectic with my music. So
yeah, I'm with
it's
you.
Just a lot
classical,
on Spotify.
Yeah. Metal, rap.
Yep, yep.
I'm with you. But I feel like Jimi Hendrix really encompasses like everything. So
oh yeah.
Good answer. It's a good answer. Do you have a secret vice like drinking a glass of wine in the shower?
Chocolate, probably. Chocolate in the shower, is that a thing? I love a good shower chocolate. No, but seriously, that's my weakness. And I miss chocolate from New Zealand.
Different.
When I came here, it hits different. And I think there's just a lot of sugar in American chocolate, which is great. Don't get me wrong, but this is just a more chocolatey taste.
I know what you mean. It's almost like it's I'm not shitting on American chocolate.
No, don't come for me.
Yeah, no. But it's the same in England. It's less refined or something.
Yes, 100%. English chocolate is very comparable to New Zealand chocolate. It's probably the same, honestly, but yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
What wrestler has the best entrance music?
I really like Nakamura's theme.
You know what? I've had that a few times now, and it is fucking rad.
Io's is also really cool.
Yeah.
Which when she comes out and I'm like in the ring, I'm like, oh, I hate that your song's so good.
Find yourself and you're, like, yeah.
She just, But I'd say Nakamura's theme is awesome.
Cool. What is your drink of choice? Doesn't have to be alcoholic.
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk? Are you not a drinker?
I am. Okay. But I'm like, oh. You know what? Whiskey on the rocks.
Beautiful. You're so adult.
That's the only adult part about me.
I like that. I'll have my chocolate milk or whiskey.
It's just completely different. I don't even know why I said chocolate milk because I like chocolate, I guess. Yeah. Whiskey on the rocks. I'm an adult. All right. Okay, sometimes neat.
Neat. Excuse me. Okay. What was your most embarrassing moment in the ring?
So I'm a complete clumsy person in real life. Like I'm surprised I don't fall over more in the ring, but there was one time when I was making my way to the ring and I just fully bailed on nothing. I think it was just my feet. Yeah. Which makes it worse.
That's the worst.
And it's before the match, you know, like it was after. I just run backstage and cry in the fetal position, but it was going to the ring. I'm like, oh great. Now I have to put on a match and try and convince people that I'm like athletic.
People were probably like, she's relatable. I feel her.
Yeah. That's the thing I have going for me is I'm relatable. Awesome.
So finish this lyric.
Okay.
Ready? If you don't want to see me, did a full 180.
I'm trying to get the song in my head.
It's really bad. Don't start now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I knew it was her, and I was like, what's the next
song? Did a full 180,
baby.
Because I can't sing. That's the thing. This is what throws everybody up. They're like, I know that song, but you're just...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about me. No, sorry about okay. me. I tried my best.
No, you did. It's great. It's fine.
Well, again, thank you so much. I tried to keep it concise. I don't want to keep you for too long.
You're right. I think we could really talk like for a lot longer.
Yeah. But... let's talk more.
Yes, please. Can we? I won't talk so much about cereal names.
Dear Wild Ones, are you reveling in Wild On Weekly? If so, please take a walk on the wild side and go over to Apple and rate your girl's podcast. I even created an informative video on how to do just that. Head over to my Twitter or Instagram to view my short instructional video on how to rate and comment on Wild on Apple Podcasts. Check out the Wild On merch store for all your favorite Taylor Wilde t-shirts. The link will be provided in the description, as well as on all my social media accounts. Are you looking for more Taylor Wilde? Sorry, no OnlyFans, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RealTaylorWilde. That's Wild with an E. Rebel boys and girls, I cannot even describe how much work goes into this weekly podcast. I couldn't do it. I mean, I really couldn't do it without my badass punk rock girl band, the Wild On team. The queen herself, my all-around go-to superwoman, editor and producer, Rochelle Duras. Public relations, Madison Galshani. Marketing specialist, Rebecca Levinson. Thank you all for your hard work. I really love you guys. Until next week, stay calm and wild on. Fuck yeah. Bonded by age, taste in eclectic music, experience, and the bizarre... oh, for fuck's sakes.